Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, He's talking about Jesus now, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You remember the book of Hebrews tells you where Jesus is. Where is He? At the right hand of the Majesty on high. And several times I give you that as we studied it before. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. Now this is Jesus is talking about. As He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. In other words, he has never done that. And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said He at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now you can be seated. Father, tonight as we bow in Your presence, I pray that You might help us to understand the things of God. Lord, as we look at this book of Hebrews, that God, You might give us some thoughts and some things from above that we might learn, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, that when we leave here tonight, we say we picked up some things. And Lord, You've helped us, and I pray we might be strengthened, encouraged, and Lord, taught the things of God, and Lord, may they stay with us, that we might be able to apply them to our heart and life. We'll give You the glory for what You're going to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now looking at this tonight, I want to point out some things. If you notice, while we read the entire chapter, there's three main characters or three main thoughts that we want to look at. Of course, I won't get all these tonight. Time won't let us. But the first character is the first word of the book of Hebrews. It's God. The second character, and of course, I know He spoke about the prophets in verse number 1, but not particularly we're going to talk about that. And He's not talking about those in a particular time here. He's just talking and using them as a mention. But in verse number 2, He talks about His Son. You've seen that. We talked about it. And He bragged about the Lord Jesus. Thank God the Father does brag about Jesus. If the Father brags about Him, we ought to brag about Him. Amen. If we've been saved by His grace, He indwells us tonight. We ought to brag about Jesus. I believe that, don't you? Now, in verse number 4, He begins to talk about something else. Here's another character, and these are angels. So in chapter number 1, we deal with God, we deal with the Son, and we deal with angels. And we'll not deal with all those in particular tonight. But just giving a little thought about the book of Hebrews, and get this in your mind so that you begin to think a little bit on this blessed book. Hebrews is a contrast in the New Testament of the Old Testament. There's a contrast of Hebrews with the Old Testament in the sense of the Old Testament is concerning Judaism. Are the Jews, the work of the Jews. And remember, that all hinged on the law. You got that, haven't you? The Old Testament. And we're looking at this as a contrast. Hebrews is contrasting the Old Testament. And when it comes to Hebrews, we found out in some of our studies before that it's a study of better things. Amen. And we talked about the better covenant and so forth. But the better things in the New Testament, which involves Christianity. That's what we're in. We're not in Judaism tonight. We're in Christianity, right? Amen. So we see that. And what's it hinged on? Christianity is hinged on the grace of God, the blood of Christ. Amen. Of course, that's how they got saved in the Old Testament as well. But I'm just looking at these things. In the Old Testament, the law never took away sin. It never will take away sin. The law did not. God gave the law for two particular reasons. Number one, He gave the law to keep the wrath of God off the people, amen, so that they have something to go by. And then mainly, He gave the law, as Galatians taught us, that it might be a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Did we not have the law, we wouldn't have nothing to break, amen. And if we didn't break nothing, we'd think we'd be all right. So God gave us the law, and when we break the law, we see how little we are, and how incapable we are, and how sinful we are. And God takes the law as a schoolmaster to show us tonight that we need Christ. Amen. So that's why the law was given to us. Now, in the book of Hebrews, I believe I've mentioned this before, we find Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. I believe you find that in the 12th chapter. And He talks about that. He's also the author of eternal salvation. I pointed those things out as we've come through. We'll find that He's the Creator. We find it here in chapter 1. We find out that He's done that. And we'll find that He's created these things by the word of His power. You see that? And He upholds all things by the word of His power in verse number 3. So Christ is the Creator. Amen. Don't get that out of line. We're not going to study on that tonight. That's a different study, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But we're going to study some things tonight that I believe will be a help to us. But the book of Hebrews tries to get us the place to see that the Lord spoke this world into existence. He brought it there. And He also planned and perfected the plan of salvation. And He completed it on Calvary. You know that, don't you, when He said, "It is finished." We've got all that in our mind, right? So what it does, He presents Himself after He has paid the price on Calvary. He's presented Himself now as the captain of our salvation. That's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. He's the captain of our salvation. And what He's trying to get us to do now is to look at these things and see that we need to trust Him and depend on Him and look at Him. Now, the comparison of the book of Hebrews to the Old Testament tonight, we'll find that the Old Covenant and the New Covenant here, the Old Covenant was good. Nothing wrong with it. Amen. I heard somebody say a few times, and I've read after preachers and even heard preachers preach, that all New Testament churches, and we call ourselves a New Testament church, that we ought to leave the Old Testament alone. Now, you may have heard that doctrine. You may have heard that preached. But I take that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. That includes the Old Testament and the New. Now, if I preach out of the New Testament all the time, I would every once in a while run into some Scriptures that are referred to back in the Old Testament. And if the Lord refers to them back in the Old Testament, then the Old Testament still must be good for preaching. Even the Lord used the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, did He not? And He even mentioned it. And so I believe today, as a full, what we call preaching, I don't start to say full gospel, but that can get you in trouble in a Baptist church. But if you're talking about tonight, given the whole context of the Word of God and given the whole menu of the Bible, you'll have to preach the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you'll have to put them in the proper order and the proper relationship to one another. And you'll have to come out and on top realizing that the New Testament is the better covenant. Amen. But the Old Testament is not destroyed. Jesus came in the world not to destroy this Old Testament, but to what? Fulfill. Now you know that from the Word of God. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. Now, what He's trying to get us to do now is to see that the better covenant, and in the book of, Matthew on through the book of Revelation, is trying to get us to see and get this and point us to be able to come face to face with Jesus Christ. Now, we can't do that in this life except by faith. Amen. And by faith, we can come face to face. And by faith, that's how we do it. But we are to try our best to get to know Him better and to understand the Word of God better and better until we actually become face to face with Him personally, when our faith no longer becomes faith and becomes sight, or when our faith becomes sight. Amen. Some of us are walking by sight, not by faith. But we're to walk by faith and not by sight until one day our faith will take us into His presence that we can see Him face to face. Amen? And then our hope will not only become just something that we have today to hoping for, but our hope will become fact. Amen? One day my faith will become sight. I will see Him face to face. I'll be like Him. And my hope that I have today will become fact. Amen. I no longer hope for it because I'll be there and be in His presence. Now that's what the New Testament is trying to get us to see and get us to do as we look at these things. Now, I want us to look at chapter number 1, verse number 1. And the first word stops us and we'll be here for a little while the rest of the message. In Hebrews chapter 1, what is the first word? God. Amen. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Praise God, that's all we need too, isn't it? Praise God. So when we got started off right. When you start off with God, amen, the book of Hebrews already started off right. It started off with God. Amen. And your life will be better when it starts off with God. And brother, you need to keep Him in the forefront. Now, this brings us to a doctrine. And I want to talk about the doctrine. We're going to talk about several doctrines in the Bible tonight. But I'm going to deal with this one particular one called the doctrine of God. Now I'm going to give you the terms for it. When I give you the terms for the doctrines of the Bible, and when I give you these words, I want you to put them in your notes so that you'll have them. But now, I preached every single one of these down through the years, not in their entirety. I could preach till I'm, I started to say the old man, but I done got there, so I won't say that tonight. I can preach the rest of my days and never get all the doctrines preached. I preached at them, I preached around them, I preached on them. But I'll say tonight that all the doctrines have not been covered by any mortal man upon the face of the earth down through the years. I've got books upon books, literature about literature on how that the doctrines are brought forth and different views and all things about the doctrines. And we started studying those things. Brother, it's a well that you cannot empty. It's an ocean that you can't run dry. And so we thank God for all the doctrines. So the doctrine we want to look at tonight, first of all, is the doctrine of God. Now that doctrine of God, if you want to write this down in your notes, is called theology. Amen. You ever heard people talk about theology? Amen. Somebody said he's got, that's the theology. We're going to be in theology. Theology is the study of the doctrine of God. Now write these words down. Some of you already have them. Some of you already know about them. All I'm going to do to some of you is remind you. But some of these words I'm going to give you tonight, they're going to sound like Greek to you because you've probably never heard them, some of you. And some of you probably heard them all. Now, I'm not in to see who knows what. I'm not in here trying to impress you. I just want you to know tonight what the study of these things are. I believe every Bible student needs to know something about this. Amen. So we know when you hear the preacher talk about, that's good theology. Or he's teaching theology. Or he's studied theology. Or he's got a doctrine in theology. What they mean is, that's the doctrine of God. Well, that covers a big area. And we'll be covering some of that tonight. I won't have time to cover it all. But we'll come back and get some more. The second phrase, and I may not give you these in the order that we will study them, but I'll give you the other one, and I'll try to spell them for you and take enough time that you might write them down. The next word I want us to talk about, and we're going to study in some course of time, and we have it already in years past here, is the word called Christology. Christology, C-H-R-I-S-T, which is the word Christ. Just put Christ and then put ology behind it, and it's called Christology. Christology. Now, the Christology, what would you think that's the doctrine of tonight? Amen. The doctrine of the study of the doctrine of Christ. Amen. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You say, well, preacher, I already know that. Amen. Well, that's good. Now you'll keep it in your mind, and I'll guarantee you, when somebody throws these words the next time, and they're trying to, kind of impress you, you'll at least say, how I went by them. I can't remember what the preacher said they were, but I know I've heard that word before. Now some of you remember it, and some of you already know that. And then we find the word theology means the doctrine of God. Christology means the study of the doctrine of Christ. And then there's another word called angelology, A-N-G-E-L, and then put ology, O-L-O-G-Y, behind it. And I'll give you these, and let me just tell you why tonight that we look at that. And I'll go back with this. Theos, or we talk about the word theology. The word theos, T-H-E-O-S, means God. And ology means the study of that. And that's why we got theology. We're studying the study of God. And so the words put in front of it kind of tells you. So what would you say angelology is the study of? The study of angels. Now, isn't that what we said right here in the book of Hebrews? Number 1, 2, 3, God, the Son, and the angels. Ain't that right? We got that, so we can get that in the first three, four verses, or four, first four verses, we find these four, these three. We'll find theology, Christology, and angelology. Amen. Boy, now we got some words are going now, ain't we? But we all, now, I preached on angels before, I preached on Christ before, I preached on God before. And I preached all these ologies, amen. I just didn't try to major on it, but I want you to know about it. And then the next word, and you may not catch this one right off, but it's called anthropology. Anthropology. A-N-T-H-R-O. A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-L-O-G-Y. Spell it again. A-N-T-H-R-O-P-O-L-O-G-Y. Does anybody know what that word means or what is the study of? Some of you do. What is it? Study of man. Actually, it's a study of man. How many remember going to school? Some of you kids ought to know going to school. You studied anthropology. How many studied anthropology, see? You didn't know what you was studying. You was studying the doctrine of man. Now that's what we have, and we studied man. Amen. Every time you read the Bible, you studied about man. But anthropology simply means that it is the study, it's the study of the doctrine of man. There's some doctrines about man. You got that, haven't you? And we got to get all this straight. You see, the problem with this world tonight is that they don't have all of it separated. They got it all confused and they got their own ideas. But the Word of God, if we begin to break it down and put it in perspective of each one of these, and you'll find it in the book of Hebrews. All these are taught in the book of Hebrews. We'll find there's a theology, the study of God, Christology, the study of Christ, angelology, the study of angels, and anthropology, the study of man. We'll find that in there. Let me give you another. I've got about 9 of these that we'll be looking at, not tonight. Ain't you glad we're not going to get them tonight? I told you we wouldn't get out of theology. Amen. Matter of fact, might not even get out of this. But we'll take our time and get out just whenever we can. But then there's another word called ecclesiology. E-C-C-L-E-S, ecclesiology. E-C-C-L-E-S-I-O-L-O-G-Y. I'll say it again. E-C-C-L-E-S-I-O-L-O-G-Y. Now, I'll give you these after service. If you didn't get them the first time, I'll spell them again for you if you want to put them in your notes. And if you're taking shorthand, you may not even know what you're writing. But ecclesiology. Does anybody know what ecclesiology is a study of? Let me just give you a little word. There's a word called ecclesia. Have you ever heard me talk about a word ecclesia? What did I call the word ecclesia? The church. So we find ecclesiology is the study of the doctrine of the church. You got to get that in there. You see, if you don't see the church in the New Testament, you're going to be in trouble, right? The church wasn't in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. And the church is what's going to be called out. You see, there's a lot of things about it. We'll deal with that when we get there. Then there's another little study, and it's called eschatology. Here you are, you're going to write it down. E-S-C-H-A T-O-L-O-G-Y. E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. That's called eschatology. Anybody want to make a stab of what eschatology is? Huh? All right. Do what? Hey, all right. What it is, eschatology is the study of the last things, and it's a study, actually, if you want to put in more convenient terms for yourself, the prophecy, prophetical. It's the study of last things, such as the book of Daniel, such as the book of Revelation, such as the second coming. You didn't know we studied Daniel, that we've been on eschatology for the last 2 or 3 weeks, did you? Amen. And now, after you leave tonight, you probably won't know it again, but I at least want you to have this. Some of you go back to your notes and you look at it. Now, I expect, and I'm not saying to you tonight that you have to know all this, but it's just something to forgive you for a reason, you know, to have in your mind to know a little bit about what it is. At least you've heard of it. Amen. When you find a smart preacher one of these days, he looks at you and he says, "Hey, I want to preach on eschatology tonight." You're going to look at him and say, "What?" No, you're going to look at him and say, "Hey, I know what that is. We had
a jaybird here one time, and he told us about what that is, but I can't remember it. At least I've heard it before. Amen. So I don't expect you to get, and I won't continue to use these words. I just want to get them across to you so you can understand them. Now, the next word that we're going to meet you tonight is called soteriology. I'll give you that if you want to spell it. S-O-T-E-R. S-O-T-E-R-I-O-L-O-G-Y. S-O-T-E-R-I-O-L-O-G-Y. Soteriology. Anybody know what soteriology is? You want to make a stab? You don't want to embarrass yourself? All right. Soteriology. Somebody said, I don't have an idea. All right. Soteriology is the study of the doctrine of, now listen, salvation. Salvation is a doctrine of God. And so as soteriology, I've heard preachers preaching, you know, sometimes and running across this. Have you ever heard preachers mention some of these words sometimes in preaching? Just to mention them? I do. I hear them mention. I read a lot, so I see it. And I hear other preachers. And if you went to one of them uptown churches, that's what you'd hear a lot of. Amen. They give you all that. Soteriology. It's the doctrine, the study of salvation. Somebody said, preacher, why do you get up? I don't get up and talk. I just talk. I just get up and preach on salvation. Amen. Salvation. I just preach it. But every time I preach on salvation, I'm preaching on soteriology, which is the doctrine. Now listen, these are words that you said, preacher, this don't make me any closer to God. No, it does not. All I'm doing tonight is trying to inform you to let you know some things out there that you at least heard of it. Amen. Now we're going to continue to preach on these. We preach on angels. Won't call it what it is. We'll preach on Christ. We'll preach on God. We'll preach on all. And listen, we won't use these words, but I just want you to know that they're there. The next word, and you ought to get this one pretty easy, and it's the word called pneumatology. And you spell it by P-N-E-U, not pneumatology. It starts with a P. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. That starts kind of like the word pneumonia. Amen. It starts with the word P. I never would have thought that years ago if I'd have messed up in the spelling bee contest. But pneumatology. Now, pneumatology, does anybody want to make a stab of what that's a study of? Huh? No. That's numerology. All right. You said it what? That's right. It's the study of the Spirit of God. The study of the Holy Spirit. Pneumatology. Now, why do you say, where do you get that? Do you know what, when you go buy a little cart or something, and you men know what I'm talking about, you buy a two-wheel cart, you know, and they'll call it, they'll look at it and say it's either got solid tires on it, or tires, or they'll say it's got pneumatic tires. Pneumatic. What's pneumatic mean? Full of air. Means they've blowed up tires. Now, what happens is pneumatology means tonight, simply that the Holy Spirit is like the wind, like the air. Got it? And so it likens it that way. And we preached on this before and talked, give you some things, what the Spirit of God was like, and use them in the Word of God. But pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you another one. There's some more, but I'm just going to give you these nine because these are the ones we're going to be dealing with. And it's another word, and here's how you spell it. H-A-M-A-R-T. That's Hamart. H-A-M-A-R-T-O-L-O-G-Y. Hamartology. 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 Now you say, what in the world is that study? Anybody want to make a stab at it? Huh? All right. Here it is. That's a study of sin. The study of the doctrine of sin. You remember that little book we put out? The Doctrine of Sin and the Sinner? That book is a book on hermetology. That's what it is. And so it's not said in that book nowhere, not on the front of it, but that's what it's a study of. We've done a study of it here a long time. But that's what it is. I just wanted to give you that. Now going back to the book of Hebrews, and I'll give you some more things to jot down in just a little bit, if time don't catch us. And I like to study the Word of God, get a little bit of thought from it. Look at chapter 1, verse 1, please. The Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners. You know what that word sundry means? All right. Do what?
Special.
Okay. That sounds pretty good. Special times. That's one way of saying it. Well, actually what it means is that God gave us the Word of God in piecemeal. In other words, He gave us a little here this day And a few days later gave us some more, a few months later some more, a few years later some more. And that's what it means at sundry times. And at special times and certain times that God gave the Word of God. He didn't give it all at one time, did He not? You see what I'm saying? God gave it to us in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and on and on and on. And we've got the Word of God. And matter of fact, it's what? About less, finished up less than 2,000 years ago, right? Amen. What, around 100 A.D.? After Jesus done sent it back into heaven and the disciples went. Look, it's been after the death of Christ we have the entire Word of God. So God, who at sundry times or at piecemeal times or certain times or special times or times that God's choosing. I mean, He didn't give the Word of God all in one day to Jeremiah and then all in one day to Ezekiel. He gave it. Some of the scriptures are hundreds of years. Matter of fact, the Word of God is given to us over a period of 1,600 years. How about that? So that's what it means by sundry times. And then He said, in divers manners. What's that word divers mean? Different. Alright, you've got that. The word divers means different. God, who at sundry times or special times, certain times, has given us the Word in different manners. That's what He's done. Different manners. Now, how's that? Well, He's gave it to us in different manners at different times. Let's look at it. If you look on, He tells us in times past. Well, look, divers manners. What's that next word? Spake. Now, what does that mean? God spake. God spoke. He spoke the world into existence. But let me go back. Somebody said, well, everybody's had the Word of God down through the years. That's right. But everybody ain't had a copy of an entire book like you and I have. Amen. Adam didn't have he didn't have Genesis, but just a little bit. Amen. Moses wrote that. Amen. And he didn't have Exodus. He didn't have all that. Adam didn't have the entire Word of God. But what did God do? God spoke to Adam. He talked to him how? How did God talk to Adam? Personally. That's right. He walked with him in the cool of the day. That's right. So he walked to now Abraham. Well, let's just look at Noah. Noah didn't have a full copy of the Word of God, but the Bible teaches us that God spake and spoke to Noah. And God spoke to Noah and said, build me an ark. He didn't read that out of a Bible. He didn't read that out of a book. God spoke to him face to face. Am I right? Follow me. Then here's old Abraham. Do you believe God spoke to Abraham? Sure He did. God told him to get out and go. God said, all the land that's yours, you and your seeds forever. So God spake. That's what He said. And He spake in times past unto the fathers. Now, before He had that, of course, He spake personally. And then after, for a while, what did God do? He rose up people and raised up men like Elijah, raised up men like Moses and some of them. And they were prophets, and God sent forth His prophets. And now He's got the prophets then to come and fill in and tell them. So we got the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, the minor prophets, the major prophets. And here they are. And what did they do? They prophesied the things of God. That's right. So they had them. They had the prophets. And John the Baptist was one of the last of the prophets, I would say. Amen. And actually, the last prophet was Jesus Christ. He was the prophet of all prophets. That's right. Amen. And He's not only that, we had the priest, but Jesus is the priest of all priests. He's the high priest tonight. Amen. And all the kings that God has, He's got one more that's going to rule and reign one of these days, and He's going to end up being the King of Kings. He already is in my mind and heart. But one day He will be established as the King of Kings. So He'll be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, a prophet of all prophets. And we'll find out that He'll be the priest of all priests. He is already. And He'll be the King of all kings. Now we've got that fixed in our mind, have we not? But as we look at this, God sent all that was good in a sense. He sent all that was good. But now, Hebrews tells us there's a better way. In verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by what? His Son. We don't need the prophets. We don't need dreams and visions. They had those too, by the way. I didn't cover that. But they had those in that. They had, in days gone by.
But now, we're not spoken to by that. What we have today is His Son. And God speaks to us in His Son. How does God speak to us in His Son? In our hearts through the Holy Spirit and by the copy of the Word of God that we have. That's how God speaks to us with His Son. Right? We get orders from headquarters, from the throne of God tonight, through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Amen. And not only that, but God has raised us up pastors and teachers and evangelists. And those are what God has had today. And so the preachers are the ones that God has sent forth to preach the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, through the reading of the Word of God, and through the speaking of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. That's how God speaks to us today. Are we right? Now, let's go back and look at something else. We're going to talk about in chapter 1, the book of Hebrews. My time is going to catch me before I get very far. But we want to give you some other things to look at. And you've got to keep this in mind. Now, God, when it says God, that's a big, big word, is it not? We're going to talk about the doctrine of God for a little bit. First of all, jot these little words down. You know about them. God is eternal. You'd have to say that tonight. God is eternal. That means He always will be. Not only has He always or will He always be, but He has always been. There will never be a time when there will not be God. God has always been and always will be. God is eternal. There's no beginning and no end. I know what you're going to say. Revelation says He's the beginning and the ending. Amen. Well, that's the beginning and the ending with man. There's never been a time when God was not. Amen. Amen. It's hard for me to understand how that God made Himself. Amen. He's always been. Now, my little peanut brain can't comprehend all those things, but I believe that God has always been eternal and always will be. Not only is He eternal, but second, He's self-existent. God don't have to have anybody to prop Him up, hip Him up, and help Him out. I've tried to hip Him a few times, got in trouble. I've got ahead of Him a time or two, and I got in trouble. Amen. And I've lagged behind a few times and still got in trouble. But God don't need no propping up and no helping out. He's self-existent. In other words, He's self-sustaining. He can take care of Himself. He don't need me to help Him. He won't call on you to help Him. He won't call on me. God is self-existent. He's eternal. He's omnipotent. That's a word tonight. We're talking about the doctrine of God. You've heard these before. What does that word omnipotent mean? All-powerful. Means there's no force bigger or greater or higher than God. He's omnipotent. He's eternal. He's self-existent. He's omnipotent. He's also omniscient. Do you know what omniscient means? It means He's all-knowing, or all-seeing, right? He's all-seeing, all-knowing. He knows. He's there. He knows. There's nothing that you can teach God. He hasn't had to go to college and school. He didn't have to learn the ABCs. Matter of fact, He taught you yours. Amen. He didn't have to learn the language. He told everybody how to do their own. Amen. Ain't never anything just slipped up on God, and He had to go back to school to learn what to do. He had never had to go back to the textbook and see what happened. Amen. He's got it all under control. Amen. He is. He's omniscient. Now, omnipresent, what does that mean? He's everywhere. There's not a place where God is not. Amen. And so we'll just go by that. He's also holy. He's also merciful. He's also loving. He's also immutable. You know what immutable means? The word immutable means what? Means not changing. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's immutable. Thank God. Somebody said, I don't need all these big terms. I just want you to know what they are. He's immutable. That's the doctrine of God. That's some things about it. Amen. He's long-suffering. He's forgiven. And you can make a list longer than that tonight and just keep on going and sit down tonight and just write out what you think about Him. Amen. And get all them good adjectives and see if it don't stir you up a little bit to find out what kind of God you've got. Amen. So God, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners. Amen. Now I want to give you some names of God. Give you some names that are mentioned in the Bible, and some of them are not there. You'll have to just look at this and go home and study some of the words I'm going to give you. They're there, but the words that I'm going to mention may not be there. Some of them will be, some of them will not. But if you go back and look at your Hebrew, you're going to find those words in the Bible. And first of all, I want to tell you His name. He's called Elohim, or Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M.
Somebody's heard that word before. Have you ever heard? All right, he's Elohim. You hear preachers preach about that. He's the God, Elohim. Now, Elohim, that means tonight, he's the strong one. Elohim, he's God, the strong one. And in other words, it means he's the putter forth of power. He does. You'll find Elohim in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis in his majestic power in words like this. And go home and you'll see it. Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, you hear words like this. God created. That's Elohim. Elohim created. In other words, he made. God made. God moved. God said. God saw. God called. God divided. God set. God ended. God blessed. That's Elohim done that. That's the word Elohim. He's the powerful one. He has made heavens and earth. Or made the heaven and the earth. Amen? You think about that. Now, I told you a while ago, theos means God, and ology means the study of God. Isn't it amazing that God wants us to see that? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times, God wants us to know, Elohim. Amen. He's the putter forth. He's the one, the strong one. Now, there's another word you'll find throughout your Bible. It's called Jehovah. How many has ever heard the word Jehovah? Sure you have. You know why, don't you? Because you've read it in the Bible. That's a Bible word. That's God's name. Now, God's name, and we look at this, Jesus, you got Jesus the Christ. Amen. We call Him the Savior. We call Him Lord. Christ is His heavenly name. Jesus is His earthly name. Which one did I mount? Christ. And then Lord is His possessive name, the name that He has. He's controlling. And He's our Lord. Right? You got that, haven't you? So we find tonight, as Christ, He's the anointed one. As Lord, He's the controller. He's the one that owns us. Amen. And as Jesus, that's His earthly name that we know can separate Him from all the others. Now, we'll find the word Jehovah. That's God's name. That's His personal name. Sometimes they call Him Elohim, but we call Him Jehovah. It's His personal name. Amen. It's like the name Jesus for Jesus. Amen. Jehovah is the name for God. And so you look at that. But I want you to take your Bible. Turn to Genesis chapter 22:14. Genesis chapter 22:14. We're going to start with these, but we're not going to finish them. I'll come back some other time. I hope I've been slow enough for you to catch all this tonight. I've been trying to be steady with it, and maybe not too fast, but I know I'm still fast. But we got a lot to cover. We got a big Bible, and amen, we got little time. By the way, I believe we're going to run out of time before we get it all studied. I've done come to that conclusion. Now, all these years I've been studying the Bible, but I'm afraid, by the way, I believe that I'm going to die before I learn all this book. Amen. Back hundreds of years ago, as a young man, I used to think, hey, I'm going to master this book. And now I found out this book is mastering me. Amen. And that's what God wants to do with it. In Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 14, we're looking at the names of God. Look at this with me. Notice this in your Bible. You ought to keep this marked. The Bible said in Genesis 22, verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place, notice this, Jehovah Jireh, G-I-R-E-H, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He called that Jehovah Jireh. Now that's the name of God, Jehovah Jireh. Now what does it mean? Look at verse 8, I believe you can find the meaning from verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Jehovah Jireh just simply means the Lord will provide. Now when you seem like you're running into trouble and you can't figure out what's going to happen, just remember Jehovah Jireh is still in control. Amen. That's the name of God, Jehovah Jireh. That means that the Lord will provide. The next time you get down in the mouth and think you can't make it any further, and it looks like everything's going to fall apart and you can't get there. Just remember that Jehovah Jireh is still in control. The Lord will provide. Amen. That helps us a little bit, don't it? Now let's go, I'll give you two or three of these, into Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, some of these you have to go to the Hebrew to get it, but I want to show you these words and what it means. In Exodus chapter number 15, let me get there, and verse number 26. Exodus chapter 20, chapter number 15, and verse number 26, big long verse. It said, "And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." That word Lord right there in the last part of that in the Hebrew is a word called Jehovah Rapha. R-A-P-H-A. You want to write this down. Jehovah-Rapha. R-A-P-H-A. Jehovah-Rapha. R-A-P-H-A. And that simply means, it tells you what the meaning is in verse 26. What do you think it is? The Lord that healeth. You remember what happened? They went to the bitter water. And Moses has fixed that for them. And now the water is made sweet to where they can drink it. You see it? They hewed down a tree and dropped it in, which is a type of the cross of Jesus Christ. And He healed the bitter waters. And that place is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that healeth. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Over in chapter 17. And let's slip over to verse number 15. Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 15. And you'll find this one. Exodus chapter 17, verse 15, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." You see that word? Jehovah Nissi. They wrote this one out. And now this one they put it out. So Jehovah Nissi. That word Jehovah Nissi. What does it mean? Well, if you'll stop and think about it, this is when Moses was sitting on the mount and the people were fighting the battle. And every time Moses could keep his hands up in the air, they won. But when his arms got heavy and went down, they lost the battle. And two men by the name of Aaron and Hur came up there and held the arms of the man of God up in the air. Amen. And it's kind of like waving the banner. That was the banner. And that's what Jehovah Nissi means. The Lord, my banner. Amen. In other words, He's the flag we fly. Amen. In Christianity, we're waving the flag of Jehovah. Amen. Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Amen. What is America's got a banner. What do we call it? The American flag. Amen. We got that. That's a banner, is it not? We wave it. Well, as saints of God, we wave that tonight. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. All right. Now, we'll stop right there. I've got a bunch of them, but I'll stop right there. Time getting us. And I'll make a note here. We'll pick up and keep it going because there's several of these tonight. There's 8 or 10 of them. We'll stop right there and pick up some other time and get it. I hope this will help to you. Remember, we're still in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, amen. What did He do? He spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Amen. Hath in these last days spoken to us by who? His Son. All right. Now we're talking about the doctrine of God. Amen. There's some things we need to know about God. Amen. There's some things we need to keep in the forefront. You said, "I don't know all these things about God." Amen. Well, I'm glad you do. But I'm bringing it back to your remembrance. God help you and God bless you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. They come to the instruments. And while I pray, they come. Maybe tonight you'd like to come to the altar and pray and seek the face of God concerning something. Our Father, as we pray, seek the face of God, they come to the instruments to give some music. I pray, God, that there's anybody in this building that needs a touch of God on them, I pray You give them exactly what they need. Touch their hearts. Touch their lives. Help us to be where we need to be and what we need to be, doing what we ought to be doing for the glory of God. Lord, help us to exalt You. Help us, Lord, to extol You. Help us, Lord, to magnify You. Use us. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can stand, please. Amen. You need to come? Come on.
thank God for the God that we have tonight. I love Him. I'm glad He loves me. I like to tell people about Him, don't you? Yes, sir.
Save me in the end.